You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
If you're not watching the promotion right now, you're missing out on something. I think that could possibly shape the future of wrestling, and I mean this wholeheartedly, for the next 5 to 10 years.
Nobody can touch me. Nobody is better than Adam Cole.
This company is still existing, yet they have to do this at the 11th hour to make sure that they run these tapings. I thought TNA was going to be different, and I guess not.
This is truly the Kevin Owens Show.
Pentagon Jr. is the wind beneath my wings. The only thing that would get a 10 for sure, maybe an 11, is Ken Shamrock showing up.
Don't disrespect me! I have kids that depend on me. So if that says that I have to go against Brock Lesnar to get a contract to provide...
Whoa. I got kids too, man. Come on in here. I feel you. Let's talk about your kids. I don't give a shit about your kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the mat.
And your host, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Deezer.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 208 of Wrestling to the Max, part one. Here we are, guys, ready for a fresh new week of wrestling talk. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about. Trust me. We have, of course, our regular show, always part one, consists of lots of big news in the world of wrestling, which we've got some discussions about the LGBT community. They may be a little bit more pleased about WWE after we get into our discussion about the situation that may be happening with that. Plus, we're going to be talking about some interesting topics when it comes to a certain big superstar, a Hall of Famer, joining the coaching staff of NXT. That is pretty cool, and I can't wait to get into that as well, plus some other great news topics you guys don't want to miss. We're also talking Ring of Honor this week. They got an episode out, and we are going to get into that. Plus, we are going to be previewing Death Before Dishonor. That's right, the big Ring of Honor pay-per-view coming to you this weekend. You don't want to miss us talking about that, breaking down who we think is going to have a chance to be the victor and maybe who's going to go home with a sad face. Besides that, we've got a lot of cool things coming your way this week as well. You don't want to forget about. Not only are we going to do part two of this show this coming Thursday live, which will be available Friday on the download for you guys, we are also doing SmackDown Live Review. That'll be on, of course, Wednesday morning for you guys. We already did the Raw review, which is available. If you're listening to us now, it's available. It's out there for you guys. It is out there for you to download on the W2M Network. Plus, we're doing the NXT TakeOver shows. That's right. We are going to get into NXT TakeOver. We are going to cover that, and that'll be available for you Sunday on the download. And we are talking SummerSlam. Wow, we've got a lot going on, guys. We are talking SummerSlam. We're going to be doing it live on Sunday night. That's right. Wrestling Unwrapped to the Max is going to come to you right after SummerSlam. It is going to be a lot of fun. We can't wait to get into everything that's going to happen on SummerSlam. So you don't want to miss that as well. That'll also be available for you guys Monday on the download. So we've got a busy week, lots of great content. You don't want to miss a minute of it. And if you don't want to miss a minute of it, go check out the W2M Network. If you're not subscribed, you need to go do that right now. That's just going to help you. Trust me, I just said a mouthful. You won't remember it. I won't even remember everything I just said. So, hey, if you're subscribed, it's going to be on your catalog. You're going to be able to just jump on there, look at it, click. There you go. You're ready to hear about some wrestling. So, yeah, just a little bit of housekeeping before we get into anything else. Wow, guys, you know, had a lot of things to go and do this weekend. Of course, the NFL season is starting off. The preseason jumped off this past weekend. It has been busy for myself and for Sean because, you know, of course, we do another show on the network called Football to the Max. So we're doing lots of preseason games, lots of different things we're studying for the podcast. But not only that, I'm trying to do some other things in my free time besides just what we're doing in the podcast world. I finally did it, guys. I watched the show called Strange Things on Netflix. Wow, it was pretty cool. Paul, have you got an opportunity to watch that yet?
Yeah, I binge-watched Stranger Things in about 2 weeks after it came out. So it's really great. There's another show that just came out on Netflix called The Get Down that I want to watch. But Stranger Things was amazing. I can't wait for season two.
Oh, boy. When is it coming? You got to tell me. I just finished it this afternoon.
I think it's next year because they're already shooting seasons two and three right now, and they're doing it concurrently to help with the kids getting older. So,
I love it. I love the 80s. I always, you know, do the whole discussion things when it comes to this podcast about, you know, that time period. I love the way they shoot the whole thing. So I'm thrilled about that. I am so happy that's going to be taking place. And I'll be getting with you about that other show because I need to find that show as well on Netflix. I mean, Sean, I'm not sure if you got to watch it yet, but, I mean, is there anything else you're checking out?
Yeah, I'm... loving Baller, you know, rock show Ballers on HBO. He's really great in that. They just had a new episode on Sunday. That Vice Principal show is really funny. It's also sort of kind of like takes you back to those high school days, but it's like in a funny way. So enjoying that as well. And yeah, just thank God that we finished the G1 on Sunday.
What a finish.
Yes, what a finish. Kenny Omega now your G1 champion.
Wow.
And man, just yeah, we had a good 1 hour show with Mr. Tom helping us along, always making the podcast great when he's on. And yeah, so me and Paul gave you all the nights. So, you know, none to thank us, but we did it for you.
There you go. Lots of hard work. You guys put in a lot of effort, and it's great. I've got a chance to check out some of those shows, and trust me, these guys work really hard at what they do. And so if you want to go check out, you know, some of the G1 and some of the results these guys have for your listening pleasure, go do that, please. But, you know, I mean, I appreciate you saying that, Sean, because that's one plug I didn't get out there. So I just want to make sure everybody knows. If you're a New Japan fan, you know, that's the place to go. Well, you know,
and of course, we want to say, you know, mm-hmm. we have not done a full SmackDown review with Gary since we've done the SmackDown Live review. Gary will be on the SmackDown Live review on Tuesday, so you get a full W2M review of SmackDown right before the last show that WWE has. Well, part of their main roster before SummerSlam. And, of course, there's also that WWE 24 special that starts off the... Well, technically it started tonight with the big sneak peek. But it really starts off on after SmackDown with the WWE 24 Women's Wrestling special, which I think Lita and Trish will be some of the people, the talking heads on. That we'll also get to talk about that and review that as well as part of the SmackDown review. So, I mean, and then there's more stuff coming for that, for the network this week.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that. We've got lots of great content coming out of the WWE Network, and if you don't already have it, you may be missing out because, trust me, I never thought I'd be thrilled about spending any money on WWE stuff if, you know, they weren't doing anything. But trust me, they're doing it, so they've earned my money, obviously. So I'm happy about that. You know, great stuff coming. So we'll get into that. We'll get into all the different things they've got coming out this week. We've got lots of other great news topics you don't want to miss. And so why delay any longer, guys? We're going to jump into some quick hits that we're excited about talking about. So we'll be right back with that, guys.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
All right, guys, let's do this thing. And, you know, we just thought through talking about the network and everything that's going on there. So let's go ahead and break down some of these things that are coming your way this week. Yeah, I mean, we've got some cool stuff. Sean just told you, following SmackDown, they got that special 24 episode, and it's going to be the Women's Revolution, I guess. What is it? Is that what it's calling, Sean? It's something that's – it's actually Evolution. That's the – I said Revolution. It's called – Women's Evolution. That's the way you say it. So anyway, it's going to be really cool. It's going to go through a lot of history. It's going to be kind of coming up to where we are today. I'm looking forward to that. Plus, we're also going to get some awesome stuff, like always. On Wednesday night, you're going to get NXT. You're going to get the Cruiserweight Classic. Well, great stuff coming from there. And then you move on to Thursday night, you're going to get a ride along with Enzo Amore and Kaz, and boy, that should be a ball of fun. I can't wait for those conversations and that little car of theirs and figuring out what those guys are all about. And of course, you know, Friday night is going to be great as well. You're going to have, Sting on, Legends with JBL. So that is going to be cool because, we haven't heard a lot from Sting, especially ever since he's been kind of retired from the company. So this is going to be really neat to get into and to kind of see maybe what Sting has to say about being retired. Saturday night, we are going to get NXT TakeOver. That's right. I cannot wait. It's going to be live in Brooklyn. You're going to get that show, plus a pre-show leading up to that big TakeOver show. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. We're going to be checking that out. And, of course, we're doing our review show following that. Sunday, 6 hours of SummerSlam. You're going to have a two-hour preview, and then you're going to have 4 hours of SummerSlam. Wow, that hurts. Oof. Just thinking about it. I'm out of wind already, Paul. So saying all that, I believe that's our full schedule for this week on the network. Every night you've got some great content coming your way. Paul, are you looking forward to this? Does all this interest you?
I need to go back and watch the Holy Foley special from today. I'm really looking forward to that show. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The women's wrestling thing tomorrow, the WWE 24, those are always good. So I'm looking forward to that. CWC, of course. I mean, round two started off with a bang last week. Let's hope they can keep that momentum going. I haven't watched any of the Legends show yet with JBL, so I don't know if I'm going to watch that. But certainly, I watch Ride Along. It's a quick 15 minutes of fun, and Enzo and Cass, they're awesome. So that'll be great. And then, of course, TakeOver I'll watch, and SummerSlam I'll get to at some point when I'm I don't think I'll be able to do the show Sunday because I have to work, and I won't get home till 10. So unless you guys want to start at 2:30 or something like that, probably not going to make that one. But I will watch SummerSlam. I'm really looking forward to that show as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for that 24 for real. I Ride Along, like Paul said, it's one of those quick things you can watch. You got 15 minutes you want to, it's a perfect lunch break show too.
Yeah.
If you're at work, it's a really cool little thing to watch. We're doing TakeOver. We're doing SummerSlam for the podcast. And, it's happening a week early, guys, but, 4 years ago, that's how we started this podcast, Gary, is reviewing SummerSlam in 2012.
Wow.
So,
isn't that amazing? Wow. That's totally cool. I didn't even realize that until you told me.
Yeah,
that.
The
wow.
Anniversary, I think, is actually the week after. But
okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that is really neat. I really didn't know that. That's cool. This is going to be a lot of fun. This week is got a lot of great stuff coming your way. And of course, the network is helping us out. The Holy Foley thing is something I'm really interested in checking out. We've heard a lot about that, of course. There's supposed to be 5 episodes for you to be able to watch immediately. I love that. I kind of not sure I love the fact that they've been doing this thing where they pimp it really hard and they just give you an hour and then you have to wait another week. I love the fact that they're giving you, a little bit of content before they start slowly dwindling down. So, besides that great stuff, we want to let you know also there is a location for No Mercy. That's right. SmackDown's pay-per-view will be October 9th and it's Sacramento, California. So if you're wondering where that's going to be, it will be in Sacramento. Of course, if you live in the Sacramento area, make sure you look for tickets because it is going to be a pretty interesting show. At least I hope so. I want to actually get to cover this show, guys. I'll be in the Caribbean. You guys will be rocking and rolling without me. It's going to be a really cool show, though, I'm sure. So just kind of leeway for people to understand where that show is going to be and all that. Let's talk about something that's very interesting, and this is something that we've often wondered, would this ever happen? Could this ever happen? It is something that we are approaching because of the fact that, you know, we know Darren Young is not the first homosexual wrestler, but one of the most modern day wrestlers to come out and actually say, hey, you know, I'm gay. And we had Pat Patterson, you know, recently, not too long ago. Of course, people have known for a long time about Pat Patterson being a homosexual, but it's not really been an okay thing to really say out loud, I guess you would say. So now, you know, of course, he's got his book coming out, and that's going to be a really fun read. So with all that being said, it's never been approached on Raw, SmackDown, any WWE television, nothing. Goldust has always been alluded to possibly being a gay character, but they would never say that, never put that out there. Now, Stephanie McMahon is saying that they are thinking really hard and probably going to do it. They are considering putting a LGBT character out there in the WWE universe. This is obviously progressive. I think it's something that, you know, we're seeing more and more in media. I mean, I can't tell you how many shows have a gay character. What do you think about this, Sean? I mean, do you think this is something that's needed, or how do you feel about it?
You know, it might be good for Darren Young, finally getting to sort of not have to worry about how he's perceived on screen. You know, I don't have a problem with it. The problem is that WWE is not subtle. They are very in your face about things. They don't know how to handle something that is just, okay, we're going to do this character, but we're not going to make it so over the top that you automatically can't take it seriously. They have to understand how to make a gay character something you can take seriously, but also sort of try to let the audience in on the intricacies of why this is important and what are the challenges this character faces that's different than other characters on the show. And I just don't see WWE doing that very well.
Wrestling in general doesn't have a great history of doing these characters very well. Obviously, it's been done on Raw and SmackDown before, though. We're forgetting Billy and Chuck. I mean, they had a gay wedding on Raw. That's
true.
And, you know, like you said, Sean, they weren't subtle about anything they did. The jokes were very blatant, and it never turned into just an aspect of the character. It was the entire character was that they were gay. And never to say, of course, that wrestling is about depth of character, excuse me. But, I mean, early reports I've heard that Becky Lynch is being considered for a lesbian role. I don't know. If it's Darren Young, then that's great. And here's the thing. If you can add that to the character and just not make it the entire character, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. They're going to make it the entire character, though. That's the problem. It's not they happen to be gay. It's just they are gay. And here's all the stuff, you know, and that doesn't do well anymore. It's not being gay, being straight, being whatever you are, isn't your defining characteristic in life. And it shouldn't matter on television either. But TV and all that, of course, has to make great caricatures and all whatever. If you make it a part of the character, that's fine. They're not going to do that, though.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is WWE has always approached the subject but never spelled it out, you know, blatantly. Like you said Billy and Chuck, it's all points to – all that was homosexual. There's no doubt about that. But they never came out and said that they were – until they got to the marriage part and then they said, you know, you two guys, you know, were gay. And then, of course, Billy and Chuck freaked out. No, we're not, you know. Gold, like I said, Goldust was a guy that, you know, did all those things, but never was a guy.
And he had a woman with him who basically was all over him for the early part of his character because even though King would make jokes about it, it was very, they always tried to sort of go there but not go there. Mm-hmm. Because right. obviously that was a different time. The 90s much different than today. So it'll be interesting if they can even think about being subtle with this. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think, you know, Paul pointed out, you know, every other, you know, show now, you know, has this, and it doesn't define the characters on those shows. A lot of these shows that you see now, Modern Family, other shows that like that, that have gay characters, they're, you know, obviously gay. They obviously have characteristics. They obviously have a partner or something involved, but it doesn't become who they are. It's not all about just that, not about the, you know, who they choose to have a love interest in. They have other things that are a part of that character. That's what I fear with WWE is, you know, you guys said it. They're going to focus so much on the love interest part. They're not going to focus on, you know, really what they're about. It's just about them being gay. So I don't like that. It makes me a little bit worried. Maybe they can do it better than I think we are thinking, but I don't know. Their track record doesn't speak highly of it. So right. until I see it, I'm not buying in right away. Just the way it is, you know. But I think, once again, it's progressive. It's something that's going to take place. It needs to take place if they want to be basically considered what they are. And that's a global conglomerate company that, you know, is equal to everybody. And why not? I mean, there are gay people all around the country that watch wrestling, that love wrestling, you know. So that, I think it's kind of cool for them. You know, let's talk about something else that's very interesting when it comes to, you know, when we're talking NXT. There's actually a new Hall of Famer that is heading down to Orlando to coach up these kids in NXT. That guy is Shawn Michaels. Yeah, I didn't mishap that. That's right. That's the right name. HBK himself is heading down and will be doing the finishing class for the NXT Performance Center. The reason this is because Terry Taylor has a neck injury, and it is going to keep him out for quite a while, so he will not be able to do his duties in coaching. And so WWE wanted to find a suitable replacement, which, hey, Shawn Michaels is one of the best, so why not? And so from there, we've heard that, you know, he's trying to relocate and all that kind of great stuff. So this is really cool. Now, we're also getting word that there's also going to be some more spots open down there in NXT because Sara Del Rey and Adam Pearce have both been promoted as producers on these big shows, Raw or SmackDown. We have not got word to which brand they will be going to. So in the long run, you just know that they're hitting the main roster, which is very, very cool for them. But that opens doors for other coaches to come in and be a part of the Performance Center coaching staff. We've already seen, you know, guys like Scotty Too Hotty come down and, you know, be coaches for a day. So guys like that will have that opportunity. Saying all that, that's a mouthful. Do you really look forward to seeing, you know, Shawn Michaels in this role? I mean, do you think Shawn Michaels is going to stay there a while? I kind of question that. I think he's really good for the roster and that whole NXT kid, the whole group. But I question because, you know, we've seen him be a little bit more free. He's got a ranch. He loves being in the outdoors. It's hard for me to believe he's going to stick in this one place.
I don't imagine it's going to be a long-term thing for Shawn Michaels, but he certainly does have a good track record of success when it comes to graduates from a training school that's associated with his name. Daniel Bryan, Spanky / Brian Kendrick. He had Lance Cade, who made it to the WWE. He had a couple other guys, Paul London. He had a couple other guys, too, make it pretty far coming out of that school. So he's, you know, there's a lot of good track record there. Not to mention, he's a tremendous wrestler. He gets the mic. He knows all that stuff. Sara Amato and Adam Pearce getting promoted to producers on the main roster is great. Adam Pearce is one of the best talkers in the world, can plan a match so easily, and that's great. And Amato, you know, Sara Del Rey is one of the best women's wrestlers I've ever seen in my lifetime. So I imagine Sarah Stock will get promoted in her place down in NXT. And I don't know who you get to promote from Adam Pearce, maybe Jimmy Jacobs or something like that. But there's a lot of talent down there in NXT willing to, you know, as far as on the training end. So they're going to do right by them, and they're going to do right by the main roster with these two additions as well.
What do you think, Sean?
Sorry, I thought I had pressed the right button on the microphone. I did not. So, you know, in wanting to improve quality, I go on mute trying to write the description for the show, and I forget sometimes that I'm still on mute. So, thankfully, I didn't start talking this time. You know, this is great because it should help the women on the main roster with someone that they're already accustomed to with NXT. Insert Tilda Ray. Hopefully, she's on Raw so that, you know, her and Cesaro have been a thing for a long time. They can be together on the main roster. You know, Adam Pearce, Paul kind of hit everything on the head there, but that he's going to be a great addition. And yeah, it only helps. It's good for good to know in NXT that you can also rise to positions as well. So there's a benefit of being there and that you can also eventually go to the main roster.
Exactly. So, you know, it's all in all a great situation for both, you know, talent and coaches. You know, they all have an opportunity to move on to that next big thing. And, of course, the main roster is that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we can get out of, you know, the Shawn Michaels situation, seeing maybe we can get some breaking ground episodes with him, you know, in their coaching and seeing how he works with the young, you know, talent in NXT. And plus, you know, seeing maybe some of the new superstars and all that. So I think this is really cool and really cool for all involved. Let's talk about something else before we move on to some TNA news. Let's talk about the fact that Bill Goldberg is going to be available at SummerSlam this weekend because, of course, he's promoting the 2K17 video game coming out. This is really cool. You know, of course, if you, you know, get a chance to go to SummerSlam, you're going to get an opportunity to see him, I'm sure. And, you know, what's also interesting is that, you know, recently 2K released a video where Brock Lesnar calls out Goldberg, but is quickly taken down off, you know, the website and, you know, everywhere where it could be found. Very interesting to me, guys. I don't know why they did that. I mean, Paul, I mean, why would you think that they would do this if, you know, 2K was the one, you know, releasing it?
I imagine it's a don't hype something you're not going to deliver on sort of thing. Goldberg's not coming back to the ring anytime soon, so why even bother mentioning it? And it might have done something for the game, but better to leave it alone. I'm surprised you're not on a plane right now, though. Goldberg going out, or Gary going out there to see Goldberg in Brooklyn, like that's right up your alley, isn't it?
You know, I love Brooklyn, and I have, you know, a fandom of Goldberg. But yeah, I mean, I've kind of soured on him a little bit, but you know. Yeah, maybe if he's a little bit nicer, maybe I'll make the trip next time. I don't know. He's kind of aggravated me. I told you guys, you can't let me listen to podcasts with him on it. You know, it's one of those things, the heart grows fonder when you're away. That's the best for me, just not to hear him talk and just say hello to him. I think that would be the better thing. So, that's just me.
Well, you know, I could care less about him being at the SummerSlam thing, so it's whatever. Yeah.
You know, it is what it is, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's still cool. I'm glad he's still doing something with the company. I can't lie. I think that's a really positive thing, especially, you know, being as WCW, you know, was a, you know, an important rival for WWE, and the fact that they get some love, it kind of helps get WCW get a little love. I'm a big fan of that. Let's talk about TNA now. Now, TNA had some big news coming out this week that we really can't wait to talk about because, trust me, right after we did our show on Thursday, it didn't seem like too long, let's be honest, for this news to come out. So we had to wait a little bit to get it out there. But TNA has a new president. That's right. Dixie Carter is no longer the TNA president. Wow. Is she gone? Nope, she's not gone. Let me tell you where she went. She has become chairman of TNA, kind of like Vince McMahon is chairman of WWE. So she will be handling all the other aspects of the company, you know, the long-term planning and things like that when it comes to TNA. But Billy Corgan is now the new TNA president, and he'll be handling all the day-to-day stuff. So this is interesting. It makes sense if you ask me because, you know, it gives Billy Corgan more of a stock in the company, more of an interest, and keeps him around even longer. If you get my drift, you know, he feels more important. Saying that, Paul, how is this really going to affect the future of TNA, or will it?
Supposedly, we've already been seeing it. A lot of the stuff that's been going on Impact these days has been all from Corgan, not at all really from Dixie and company. So that's something, and it might explain why we've had the dramatic shift in what they're doing with the Decay and Final Deletion and all this other stuff. I don't know, like, obviously, I don't know how good Corgan is at business, and I'm sure that's why Dixie is still around, because she has somewhat of a mind for it, I guess. I don't know. with the way TNA is, it's so hard to tell, but she's somebody that does have some interest in the promotion and all this other stuff. So I'd like to say it's going to be for the, because their main event scene has been Dynamite, and if that's all Corgan's doing, then he's nailing that on the head. He's got some shady dealings in the past, though, from his times with running Revolution Pro out in Chicago. I know Ketze isn't a big fan of his, so that's, you know, maybe some questions to be had for him, but I'd like to think this is going to work out in TNA's favor at some point in time.
Just don't bring Jesus into the TV.
Right.
Just don't do it. You know, look, if really Billy Corgan's been, and I can truly believe that Billy Corgan has probably been the one that's been involved in a lot of this, because in the past, I mean, with John Gaborik or whoever's been doing this, Dixie, and it certainly wasn't like this. It certainly didn't feel like a fluid show that it does now, with a lot of different segments going on and so much backstage and different film aspects that are added to this as well. Perhaps we're going to see a lot more of the Lucha Underground S stuff put in, like what we're getting with Final Deletion and like we're getting with the Decay. And that might be a plus for TNA, because let's be honest, Lucha Underground, they're at least getting 200,000 less viewers on a network that even has less viewers than Pop TV. So if they can somehow channel this into continuing to grow, which their ratings have been going down every week since the Final Deletion, it would be good for them. And it can bring that sort of hybrid of doing weird stuff and backstage stuff with wrestling, still being a bit too WWE light in many things. So hopefully Corgan kind of channels them away from that. And, you know, something that they're going to introduce, Gary, may be a way that they're going to differentiate themselves.
Yeah, in that way that they are, you know, possibly differentiating themselves is that they are unveiling a new title. And we're not going to give any spoilers away. There have been some shows. Spoilers are out there. That's your discretion. If you want to go read them, we don't give them away here on the podcast. But there is something I think we can kind of go ahead and get into, and that they're unveiling a new championship. It's called the Grand Championship. And this is going to be all about MMA rules. That's how you get this title. They're going to have some three judges involved. And this is going to be a new wrinkle to TNA. And, I mean, Sean, I mean, I don't know. I mean, are you a fan of this at all? Does this interest you?
I can't really hate on something that I haven't seen yet. If we're just having a wrestling match and we're going to have judges, I don't see anything wrong with that, where you're judging them based on takedowns and who got some big moves off and who didn't, maybe submissions, stuff like that, things that you can't do in a wrestling ring, things you kind of can't do in an MMA ring either. I don't mind. If we're going full MMA with this, I'm not a big fan of, because you're still watching wrestling to watch wrestling. You're not watching wrestling to watch MMA. You know, I go back to this concept, but it didn't really work that well for New Japan, and they had legit guys and everything going against wrestlers, and maybe that was a bit of the problem, but people are watching wrestling and watch wrestling, and I think at the end of the day, Billy Corgan probably knows that.
For me, this sounds more like a blend of the old World of Sport style of wrestling from England mixed with some MMA influence here from more modern times. So the idea is you're going to have rounds. They're still going to wrestle. And if a winner can't be determined by pinfall or submission, it goes to the judges to decide who wins. honestly, it's something different enough that it makes it stand out, and I think it'll work. I question the decision to do something so wrestling-based, though, with the talent that TNA has outside of its main event, simply because so many of these guys, they're not terrific wrestlers. So if the times are shorter, then that's okay. But if we're going for a long-haul matches, this could kind of blow back in their face.
Yeah, you have that issue. And, you know, it's just how exactly they decide to do this is going to be the interesting part. You know, I'd assume that they would have to understand that, you know, you got to make sure this is also exciting, too. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it can be a big deal. You know, the excitement level, the interest level, all the above is going to be, you know, a big important part of this, because adding the new wrinkle is cool, but it's got to be something that's going to draw people to it and not something that's going to deter people. Because trust me, there's not really time or even, you know, an audience to do that with. You've got to make that you're getting it right, and so I hope they are. And if this is going to be something that's going to be special, it needs to be something that people care about. So we'll see what they do. We haven't got there yet, you know.
And if for some reason it fails, you can take away the judges, you can take away the rounds, and it's something that Ring of Honor doesn't do anymore. You can sort of make it into the pure wrestling title, mm-hmm. where you can't, you still don't have the disqualifications, you still don't have the countouts. You can do the shaking hands like in the CWC or whatever. And like with, you know, the code of honor, but you just you make it about pure wrestling, and you just don't have the MMA sort of influence thing if that sort of doesn't work.
Yeah, very true. All right, well, you know, that pretty much wraps up our quick hits for this week. Until next Thursday, of course, for this episode. I said week, which is wrong. We still have more this week. But, guys, I mean, we've had a lot of great discussions, but I think there's some other things we need to jump into before we get out of this show. That is Ring of Honor. We have lots of cool stuff to talk about Ring of Honor. Not only do we have this week's episode, we also have to preview that big pay-per-view, Death Before Dishonor. So you don't want to hold on to your hats. We've got more coming your way. We'll be right back with Ring of Honor next.
All right, Paul.
All right, so Ring of Honor opens this week with a video package sort of recapping the big main event that was made last week. And we go right into a match, which is something that neither WWE or TNA does. And they go into one heck of a match as Donovan Dijak takes on Lio Rush. Both guys are top prospect tournament winners of the last 2 years. And these guys work an absolutely incredible big man versus small man match. Dijak's powers on full display. He tosses Lio around like it's he weighs nothing, which is true probably for him because there's about a 100-pound weight difference. And Lio gets to use his speed and smarts and all this other stuff to really work Donovan into these moves that do a lot of damage. And I love this match to pieces. It's so good. Lio ends up getting a win with a crucifix after reversing out of Feast Your Eyes. And, yeah, Lio wins, and you have Jay White come in to make the save after Donovan attacks him post-match, and then Kamatachi comes out. So this is hype going towards the four-corner survival match at Death Before Dishonor that'll crown a new number one contender for the TV title.
Boy, was this a fun match to watch. I mean, I was thrilled watching it. In fact, I kept thinking the end, you know, towards the end of it, I kept, you know, having Marvin Gaye play in my head a little bit. You know, it's one of those matches you watch and it kind of gives you sexual healing, baby. It was a blast. I mean, I loved it. Lio Rush is just one of those guys. I mean, you can't divert your eyes from the TV because he just continues to impress you. You love everything he's doing. I think Dijak did a great job as well. Really, honestly, I wasn't expecting this to work out that well. I kind of thought, you know, there were going to be some points where they just didn't chemistry wise kind of work. But let's be honest, they did a great job and the chemistry was fine. Everything worked out. And boy, I mean, I was just impressed with this match. And for Leo to win, that says a lot. It shows that Ring of Honor really does have a plan for this guy. And, you know, obviously Dijak didn't lose out. It was still a great match.
Yeah, I mean, I expect all four of these guys to absolutely deliver this Friday, too. So continue to look forward to this because you got four of the best workers probably in Ring of Honor right now working one heck of a match to work towards a title. So we move on from there, though. We got a string of promos here. Dalton Castle is backstage with his boys, and he gets interrupted by the Cabinet, who want to remove Dalton from wrestling. And that's a smart move because there's no way to get heat on somebody faster in Ring of Honor than to have him go after Dalton Castle. So
that's right.
We move to some footage where War Machine was attacked backstage by Shane Taylor and Keith Lee. They attack him with some chairs. You get some pipes and some guardrails thrown at him too, and explains why they can't make it for the tag title main event that was scheduled for this evening. And they also go on to explain later that the guns, the most of the machine guns, they're out with injury as well. But before that, we have Hangman Page come out to do an interview with Kevin Kelly at ringside, who's talking about how the Bullet Club wants gold, whether it's in Ring of Honor or New Japan, doesn't really matter. They just want it. And Page goes on to talk about his issue with Jay, not only because he has the IWGP tag team title holder, but it's always been more personal. It goes back to Page's days in the decade. And pretty much doesn't like how Jay thinks he's the toughest man in Ring of Honor because Adam Page thinks he is. So, of course, this fires Jay up, and they come out and they have a big brawl. And then we get into the tag title situation after that with the Addiction. They say that seeing as the guns and War Machine are out, that they're going to have the night off, but out comes Roppongi Vice, who says they're healthy, and they went undefeated in New Japan this last month, and they won a tag title shot. And this also brings out the Young Bucks, who won a match as well to up the star rating, of course, because that's what they do. And Nigel comes on the mic, says that it can't be a title match because Daniels has rightly pointed out to him that they signed a contract to defend against the guns and War Machine, not these guys. So the tag titles are off the line, but the Young Bucks and Roppongi Vice can have a match, and the winner of that will get a tag title match down the road in 2 weeks. So before we get into that match, what did you think of the promos here, Gary?
Dalton Castle, it's always gold. I love Dalton Castle, and that was quite funny if you ask me. You know, because they were threatening the boys, and he says the boys can take care of themselves. And I love that. And just the way he's always presenting things. So it wasn't bad. The Cabinet is a yawn for me usually, but put Dog Castle in the picture, they actually kind of matter. Then, of course, you know, we move on, and it's totally understandable, the War Machine situation. They've got to make sense of what they're doing later. Completely fine with that. Adam Page, I really enjoyed, you know, what they did there with, you know, Jay Lethal and the way that worked out. To me, I mean, you really want to keep the heat on that. You really want this match to matter. And I don't think that they did themselves a disservice. I mean, to me, it all worked out the way it needed to kind of build some interest even more. So nothing too terrible with that. And of course, you know, I loved the explanation we got with this tag team division situation. I really like that. Nigel made some good points, and it's continuity. It makes sense. We're not just sitting here saying, why did they do that? What was the purpose in that? They kind of gave it to you why they're doing it. So I like it. I think it's all good.
Yeah. Clear cut reasoning for why stuff is happening is always nice. It doesn't insult anybody's intelligence. They're just spelling it out for you. And I loved it. And we get into this match, which is quite good as well. The Bucks and, you know, Roppongi Vice obviously have a lot of experience wrestling each other, not only in New Japan, but sure, elsewhere around, especially in Ring of Honor. And we get a lot of the standard spots that you'd expect, and you get some really good ones too. Like there's a great, Trent has, Nick, I believe, on his shoulders. And then, he has, Rocky fly in with a knee to kind of do a little doomsday device thing on their, on the outside, which is really cool. Yeah, and you have the Addiction get into this. The Bucks end up super kicking him on the outside. That sort of plays into the finish because the Addiction recover and come back around, only for Nick to do a springboard moonsault after skipping out on the Meltzer driver. And Trent goes on a little bit of a run on Matt, but Matt ends up getting, I don't know if I like the crucifix finish in both matches tonight, but after recovering from a dude buster, Matt ends up getting Trent in a crucifix for the win, and the Young Bucks will go on to face the Addiction for the belts at some point down the road.
A very interesting way that this concluded, you know, because you would think that maybe you would want to face team, you know, especially, you know, a team like, you know, Repugnant Vice to be going and get a chance against the Addiction. But, hey, this works too. The Young Bucks are, you know, great. It makes sense with storyline, especially with Adam Cole, you know, going for gold. Of course, Bullet Club, like you've already said, they're all for gold. So for the Young Bucks to get this opportunity, it just all makes sense and lines up the right way. So once again, the match is fine. These guys have been working together forever now. So, I mean, this is going to be a good match. It, you know, all worked out the way it needed to work out. No complaints. But I think the underlining thing here is that all this makes sense. It just does. There's nothing here that I can sit here and complain about and say, why do they do that? Once again, it's just great storytelling.
So true. So following that, they do a Death Before Dishonor card rundown, which we're going to do after we are done reviewing the show, so I'm not going to go over that here. And then we get to the main event segment, which is the big contract signing between Adam Cole and Jay Lethal for the ROH World title match this Friday. They both get an opportunity to say their piece before they sign, obviously, and Cole sort of questions why Jay really wants this match. Obviously, he goes on to say that the head shaving thing wasn't personal. It was about showing Jay and Nigel and everybody else in the Ring of Honor fan base that he can sort of take anything he wants from Jay at any time. And at Death Before Dishonor, he's going to steal the belt. And he's not really worried about stealing the show at all. He just wants the belt. So we're going to have, you, they're already calling the overbook finish right now. And then Jay goes over like how he treats every match in Ring of Honor as a title match, except for the one this Friday, because it's just going to be a fight. And he signs a contract, Cole signs a contract, and then Lethal very interestingly puts a pair of scissors on the table and sort of eyes him, and Cole stares at him, and then Lethal bashes Cole's face into the table, and we got ourselves your standard contract signing brawl. And Lethal ends almost gets a chance to use the scissors before the Young Bucks make the save to drag Adam Cole out of the ring before any damage is done to that sweet do of his, and we're out of the show there.
You know, I think this contract signing was fine. It was kind of interesting to kind of hear some of, you know, Cole's reasonings and things like that. So I really didn't have any qualms with it. Totally fine. You know, I did like the way they ended this because, you know, you have Jay Lethal out for revenge. I mean, he lost his hair, so why not, you know, eye for an eye, take Cole's hair and make it your own trophy. But, you know, the Young Bucks are there to save the day for them, and just all makes sense. It really does. And this gets you hyped. I mean, this really does. This make you feel like that, man, there could be an opportunity for us maybe, you know, this weekend to get a chance to see Adam Cole get a haircut. You never know. You know, or is, you know, Adam Cole too much for Jay Lethal? Is this going to end his reign as world champ? I don't know. That's what I like. I like questions going into pay-per-views. I don't like, you know, fears or boredom going into a pay-per-view. I like these questions. So this is going to be really interesting to find out what happens.
Absolutely. So I guess with that being said, it's time to move into our predictions and all that stuff for Death Before Dishonor. So first matchup is the Four Corner Survival match to crown a new number one contender for the Ring of Honor World Television title as Lio Rush takes on Donovan Dijak, Jay White, and Kame Itachi. Who you guys got?
You know what? I'm just off the top of my head. I mean, I would go ahead and pick Jay White. I mean, you know what? I just to be crazy, I think I'm going to pick Dijak. I think it'd be interesting to see him go on a run.
I'm going to pick Dijak here as well. I'm sorry. I forget sometimes we're doing these videos, and you guys probably just heard me munching on cereal during the video. I mean, you guys didn't on this end, but I think on the video it records a different audio, so they might have. I'm not sure. Hopefully not. But I'm going to go with Dijak, too. They've been sort of trying to push him at teams, and we'll go that way.
I'm going to go with Jay White. He hasn't lost a match in Ring of Honor. I don't think they're going to start that now. And I feel like it's going to be a bit of that strong push, especially him and Bobby Fish. It's going to be a great match. So, uh-huh. Moving on from there, we got Jay Briscoe taking on Hangman Page in a sort of a grudge match. Their match at the G1 finale in the tag team match between Page and Yujiro and the Briscoes wasn't anything special, but hopefully they can come out and put on something awesome here.
Oof. I mean, it's really hard for me. I'm going to guess a Page.
I'm going to say that I don't think Bullet Club's going to get everything here, so I'm going to say Briscoe wins this one. Hopefully, with just Jay and with Page, these two get to have a pretty good match here that we didn't get to see at the G1 finals, but yeah. Just hoping for a good one.
I'm with you on this one too, Sean. I think Jay Briscoe's going to get the Duke here. And as you said too, they should have a great match. They've had good matches in the past before, and let's hope this is more of the same. Next up is a six-man tag that honestly I don't have a lot of invested in, but Chaos, Rocky Romero, and Trent Barretta are going to team up with Toru Yano, who's making his ROH debut, I believe, here against the Bullet Club team of Yujiro Takahashi, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa. This could be fun. It could also be kind of a bore.
Yeah, it could be. I think I've got to go. I'll go. Why not? Chaos. I'll pick Chaos.
This one's, you got the Bullet Club D team here. Against, a debuting Yano. I don't know. This screams Yano special happening here because it's on his debut. They don't want him to lose. I mean, obviously, he just may not take the pin. And you have either Rocky or a Barretta do it. Tama Tonga is usually really fun with Yano. So You'll at least get that. You'll get the snake deal where Yano freaks out, and that'll make it worth it.
Tonga, I think, will also work well with both Barretta and Rocky Romero as well, too. So you got that to look forward to. The rest of that Bullet Club team is meh.
It's like worse than watching paint dry. Just
yeah. That being said, I don't know if you get the Yano special here, but I'm going to go with Bullet Club just because I think Ring of Honor is going to want to present them in a bit of a stronger light on this show. Next up, you got another debut for Ring of Honor, Shibata. Katsuyori Shibata is coming over to take on the last real man of pro wrestling in Silas Young. I think this is going to be really good. I'm sure not everybody's a big Silas Young fan, but I am, and I think these guys are going to work great together.
This is going to be really fun. I can't wait to see it. And, we all know Silas Young is a real man, So, saying that, I still think Shibata can be the victor here.
Oh, this is Shibata all the way. I wouldn't be surprised if Shibata just runs him the hell over either. Talk about the last real man. I'm sorry, you're going against the men of the real men here in Shibata. I don't, this is no joke. And I think, Silas Young is going to figure that one out pretty quick.
If they have a video package for this match, ROH is going to do themselves a huge disservice if they don't show that headbutt Shibata did to Nakajima, where he hit him so hard he split his own head open. If that doesn't scream real man, I don't know what does. Yeah. Shibata's getting the win. I think this is going to be really good. And Shibata, he has a way of bringing the best out in people, and I'm certainly expecting him to do that here with Silas. Another fun match that's just going to have charisma oozing out of its pores without even trying as the Rainmaker Kazuchika Okada comes over to take on Dalton Castle. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be a really fun match.
I can't wait. I'm thrilled about it. The hard part for me is picking against Dalton Castle. I love him to death. But, just the Rainmaker... it's even harder to pick against him. I got to go Okada.
Yeah, Castle's not beating the IWGP Heavyweight Champion here, but he should look really good. And that's, I think, the main point of this is to make Castle look good against Okada. He's done it with Moose. He's done it with so many other guys. I don't think you have to worry about that. This is going to be another match where Castle's going to look great, and you're going to be – people who don't know him are going to be singing his praises afterwards. And it's going to be fun to see him in there with Okada.
Yeah, Okada's getting the win here. The one thing I think that Castle has going for him is when they went over to Corican Hall earlier this year for Honor Rising, Dalton got a really good response from the Japanese crowd over there too. So hopefully this rises his stock some more with the New Japan guys, and they can get him over there a little bit more often because he's great.
Sometimes you don't have Taguchi there, though, to have his own peacock.
If only. If only. So we move into our title matches now. We have a triple threat match for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles as the Addiction defend against L.I.J., the Los Ingobernables de Japón, and Tetsuya Naito and Evil, and Hiroshi Tanahashi and Michael Elgin. This is going to be a really fun match. And it could be really chaotic too. There's not a bad worker in this.
I don't know, Sean. What do you think? I'm still debating on this one.
This is a hard one because they've had Tanahashi and Elgin lose before, and you know, so this is one that could go sort of a either way thing. But man, when you've got Naito and Evil involved here, this is hard. Like, I don't see how it would hurt for having a New Japan team take those tag titles with them, but they hardly do anything with their own tag titles. So I don't see why you would need this to happen. The Addiction are going to retain here. Probably pinning Michael Elgin.
Why can't I pick? I want to pick my guy, though. I'm going to pick my guy.
Or Evil, for that matter. Sorry. Probably not Michael Elgin. He's a champion.
You think Evil's taking the pin?
Yeah.
Man, I don't care. I'm still picking Naito. I love my boys. Evil's, you know, a part of that. So they go together. I'm picking them.
They have a big World Tag Team title scramble match taking place for Field of Honor, which is the week after, but they also have television tapings the night after Death Before Dishonor here too. The Addiction I see playing sort of a backseat role in this, and they'll sort of pick and choose their spots while the other two teams beat the bejesus out of each other, and they'll sneak in and get the win to retain. If you're going to do a tag title switch, though, they're going to do it at Field of Honor, and this should be really fun, though, and you know, I know you can't pick it in Naito, but He won't look bad here if that makes you feel any better, Gary.
It's a consolation prize, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, Elgin and Tanahashi have a little history with Naito and the whole LIJ thing, so should be extra fun.
We get to our co-main event. Mark Briscoe takes on Bobby Fish with the world television title that Fish has on the line. They did some good build for this a couple weeks ago whenever Briscoe took over the Fish Tank segment. And this is probably Ring of Honor's two most consistent performers, too. So this is going to be a really good one to watch. But who you guys got taking this one home?
I'm gonna say Bobby Fish retains.
I'm going to say Bobby Fish retains as well.
Yeah, there's no reason to move the belt off of Bobby right now. This should be a really good match and something to add some credit to his reign for sure, but no reason to put the belt on Mark now. And then we get to our much-talked-about main event. Adam Cole challenges Jay Lethal for the ROH World title. Does Lethal's reign end here? He hasn't been without a championship, I should mention, in over 2 years. Absolutely incredible.
That is incredible. And it's so hard to imagine a world without Jay Lethal with gold around his waist. It really is. But I am going to go with my theory of, you know, sometimes biblical times teach you things, and that's sometimes without your hair, you don't have the strength. I think Cole finds a way to win, and, you know, those dreads really did help, you know, Lethal.
Yep. You know, he was the Samson of the cornrows. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those where Jay Lethal has had this, a championship for so long now. You're trying to establish Bullet Club as a big deal. Now you're establishing them again in New Japan. So you're establishing them here in ROH. And the way you start that off is Adam Cole becomes world champion by hook or crook. I think it's the time. It's the time for Adam Cole.
It is indeed the time for Adam Cole, specifically because I know Ring of Honor wants Kyle O'Reilly with that championship, and Cole with the belt sets up an easy rematch for Kyle down the road, especially a final battle, because I'm about 10,000% sure Kyle O'Reilly is going to win the Survival of the Fittest tournament this year. So this should be really good. It's going to be overbooked. It's going to be a chaotic mess, and I can't wait for it to get here.
Yeah, it's going to be great, and I hope everybody's looking forward to checking that show out. Of course, you know, we will be reviewing that show, I believe, this weekend. Now, we're still a little uncertain which show we're going to be doing that on. We were debating a little bit about doing it during the TakeOver show, but we may have to delay it. We will let you know. We will keep you posted. It's all about getting things together. We've got a big weekend ahead of us with TakeOver, with SummerSlam. And with our work schedules, things like that, we're not sure what we can get taken care of. But what we do know is by this weekend, you're going to get us reviewing Ring of Honor's Death Before Dishonor. So we will keep you posted. Don't forget, go join that Facebook group, Wrestling to the Max. It will give you all the details. You will know everything about what we were planning on doing right there. So you won't miss a minute of the action. Once again, if you're subscribed to the W2M Network, you won't miss it anyway, right? I mean, if you just listen to the shows, you will get this whole review, and we're looking forward to getting it to you. So I just kind of gave you a few of those plugs just now. I mean, don't forget. I mean, we've got, you know, that, of course, NXT TakeOver this weekend we're going to be reviewing. Plus, we're doing a Wrestling Unwrapped to the Max episode, which we'll be doing all SummerSlam, giving you all the details on what happened at SummerSlam, giving you our thoughts and theories on what the future possibly could be following that big SummerSlam pay-per-view. And, of course, you know, we will be back this next Thursday night.
We're doing Super J Cup as well on that Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Wow, we got a lot of stuff, man. Woof. It's just amazing. You know, and don't forget, this Thursday night live on Spreaker.com, you can come and find us once again for part two of episode 208. Not only will we have more wrestling news for you guys, but we'll also have some TNA talk, some NXT talk, and of course the Cruiserweight Classic, all involved in that episode. You don't want to miss that one. Friday on the download for you guys who listen that way. Whatever podcasting network you use to listen to us, go check it out. But besides that, you know, Sean, we have the wrestling stuff kind of covered. Let's go ahead and talk about the W2M Network and what we've got coming out this week.
Yeah, we've got double dose of football, or triple dose, pretty much. We got we're doing the Big 12 conference preview on the show. We're doing a little bit. And then we're doing a little, you get a little bit of a taste of what you're going to get from us during the regular season. We're going to recap that preseason week one and kind of get into that, talk about the games, who stood out, that kind of thing. And, of course, on the Thursday show, we'll be doing another division preview where we preview the NFC North. So, you know, getting down to the last one, then the week after is the NFC East, and then we're done with those divisions. And, of course, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, you can now always find the video game podcast. That's the official solid night, where the only night I pretty much have open that I can do something else. It's not one of these things. So, you know.
So lots of great stuff coming your way. You know, you don't want to miss a minute of the action. Once again, go subscribe to the W2M Network. And also, do us a favor. Go rate this podcast and all those other podcasts. But we want you to go rate and review. Tell us what you think. Give us your honest opinion. We want to hear it. We want to make the show better. If you think you can, you know, give us some pointers on some things that you would like us to do, hey, we would love to hear them. Just go up there and rate. And, of course, you know, give us your comments and all that. That really kind of helps us, you know, make the show better for you. We appreciate everybody that's already done it, but we need you guys that haven't to go do that for us, rate and review.
And, besides, and of course, I wanted, before we get out of here, because I felt bad that I did not go check out. I got it out late. I'm going to get out this one late. I'm going to get out the newest podcast we've just added out late as well. Running Wild had a show where Rich went to Tier 1 Wrestling Show that had Mr. Aaron Rex on, and as well as other folks. We have a new episode of Jobber's Court out there, and our newest podcast that we just that's just going to be added tomorrow morning, the Loaded Questions podcast, which features guys from Australia. Yes, you heard me right. Three guys from Australia doing basketball, Premier League soccer, and possibly even some NFL football as well, but it's mainly going to be some Premier League soccer and basketball for right now. So, you know, some unique voices talking some sports you may participate in and care about.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, once again, in this W2M network continues to grow. Why do we pimp it so hard? Because, trust me, it's worth your time. I mean, I'm amazed by the great podcast we have on this network. It is so cool. So, growing day by day. Well, guys, we are done. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. We will be back once again. Don't forget, next Friday morning on your download. And, of course, you know, for myself, for Sean and Paul, just always remember, if you're not living life to the max.
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Please.
Later.
Why do I?
You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.